I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Hello, and welcome back to Keanu Believe It, the Talk Film Society podcast that is all Keanu Reeves all the time. I'm Sam Van Haren, assistant editor at TFS, and a lifelong fan of the singular Keanu Reeves. I am your guide through his diverse and interesting career. Each week, a guest and I discuss a film from his filmography, which we're working through in chronological order. On this episode, we'll be discussing The Whole Truth. Joining me to discuss the legal drama is Pablo Hurtado. How's it going, Pablo?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. It's going to be a good chat, I think. So before we dive into the movie, what are your thoughts on Keanu Reeves in general?
I think in recent years, I've started to realize how much I like his work a lot more. I think I liked a lot of his films when I was young. You know, the Matrix, Speed, Point Break, even something like The Devil's Advocate and Hardball, but I never really paid attention to a lot of filmography until his resurgence in recent years, I feel like, with John Wick, when everybody kind of started paying attention a bit more. And, you know, so yeah, I like Keanu a lot. Trying to figure out where I would place this film in his filmography. He definitely has a lot of great classic movies. So, right. Yeah, I enjoy his films quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd say this one is a little, I'd say it's middle of the road one. It's like, it's not terrible, but it's not super original, you know. It's like, we've seen movies like this before. We've seen, it's not breaking any ground, but again, it's not like, I've seen much, especially working through his filmography, I've seen some much worse movies that also, that didn't use him very well, but I think this one uses him pretty well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's probably not something I would revisit ever. I don't see myself watching it again. But it wasn't awful. It was I guess ordinary, which I'm not sure if that's a worse thing than
sure.
than being awful. Because you know, if something's awful, at least it's a bit more memorable. So you have reasons to point back to it, but this film didn't really have anything that I would call memorable.
No, it is forgettable for sure, and I think that's, there's some, something like, I think it might even be a more successful movie than something like Johnny Mnemonic, but it's not, but Johnny Mnemonic is so much fun and so, you know, so much personality that I revisit it much more than I would revisit something like this. Because it's just, again, it's like, it's, you know, it's well put together. It's not, it's structured well. It's, the acting's pretty good in parts. But yeah, it's just, there's nothing really that gets your hooks into you that would make you even, I kind of forgot about if I hadn't taken notes, I don't know if I would have been able to work through the plot in this episode.
Oh yeah, and that's only because I just watched it yesterday. So I'm still, it's pretty fresh. But it's definitely something I had to, you know, make myself, okay, let's keep watching this. Let's see if it, you know, I kind of kept hoping it would go somewhere. And it never really did anything extraordinary that made me think, oh man, they're really, you know, they did that. I think they tried something later in the film. It didn't really work for me though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's about Keanu, who plays a lawyer named Richard Ramsey. He's representing a young man he's known since the guy was a kid. And he's this guy named Mike, and he's accused of murdering his father. And this movie has a Keanu does voiceover throughout it, narration of it. And I honestly think, like, that, I wonder if that was a studio note or something to try to be more obvious with what the, because there's a lot of parts where he, which we'll get to later on, where he, like, explicitly states things that we probably could have figured out ourselves, or, like, that would have been better left ambiguous, especially the ending, which we'll talk about. I feel like it's one of those things where the voiceover was kind of unnecessary, and kind of, I would have maybe that special thing would have come if it was left a little more ambiguous than it is.
Yeah, when it first started, it really struck me as strange that this would have a voiceover, just because I had, you know, read the plot and kind of read about what the film was going to be about a little bit, and it just seemed really out of place. It just seemed something that I don't think you typically see that in courtroom, you know, dramas or procedurals or anything like that. So just,
right.
After everything wrapped up, the studio thought they needed something to make it a little more concrete and clear. Maybe they just aren't giving the audience enough credit to, you know, understand what's going on in the film. But it did seem strange.
I guess maybe it was trying to, like, also maybe set up that Keanu's an unreliable narrator, too. Like, but it never really went with that. I mean, like, the first line is, like, he says, "I knew I was fucked." Like, I felt like that made me think that this was going to be, like, a, you know, different take on the courtroom drama. But it's really not. It's basically a by-the-numbers. It's all set basically in this courtroom and then, you know, in various, like, hotel rooms. And then also there's a flashback structure. But it, which is the one thing that is a little bit of a personality there, where, like, I can see where they were trying to do with, basically, like, there's this court trial. And then as they have the trial going on, that we show, they flash back to show what actually happened. And I can see maybe where that was kind of the hook of the movie, but it, I don't think it ever really fully paid off into something interesting.
Yeah, it did a thing where it kind of presented you with different angles of what could have possibly happened. But like you said, it didn't go far enough into if you're going to do something like that, I think you really need to go all in with
right.
The different angles, you know, the different stories, kind of giving the audience a mystery. But it didn't really play that up enough for me, which is, I think, the problem with most of the things in the film, that it only scratches the surface of a lot of things it's trying to do. But the filmmaker never fully goes in.
Right. And another thing is where there's some hints of things that could, again, like, if they had followed through with it more, if they had gone a little further and gone, then it could have been honestly a really interesting type of movie. But as it is, it kind of feels like it's in Louisiana. It's almost like a sequel to The Devil's Advocate with all the interesting supernatural elements.
Oh yeah.
Because like, it's Keanu as a defense lawyer representing clearly guilty or seemingly clearly guilty people. So it's like, I'd probably just watch The Devil's Advocate again if I was in the mood for Keanu as a kind of sleazy defense attorney.
Yeah, and early in the beginning of the movie, actually, right when the film starts, after he does his brief voiceover, when we're first introduced to his character, he goes into the bathroom and he pukes, and that never really comes up ever again. So I'm not sure exactly why they did that, because when that happened, I thought this was going to be a character piece. We're going to, you know, see who this guy was. Maybe he was a torn or troubled, you know, attorney. He had something going on in his life. But there's really never any payoff with him, you know, getting sick in the bathroom. And it never resurges. I don't think he's ever sick again in the film later. So it just was right. really strange to me that they did that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit, maybe, but, like, again, it's like they never really dive into his character. I mean, they tell it. There's a big twist at the ending, which we'll get to in a bit. But, like, it never really, again, and that twist, like, kind of just lands with a thud. It's like I kind of sort of figured it out already a little bit. And then But it also just, it would have been effective more if they were actually delved into any of the characters, but they really don't. Like, they play lip service to character development, but there's really not much of it here.
Yeah, definitely. We get little pieces of the dad. I mean, are we going into spoilers on?
Yeah, this will be full spoilers. So please, pause it here if you want to see the movie first. But yeah, we can go spoilers.
All right. So they go into a little bit of the dad. So basically, in the film, Keanu is representing this young man who he's the defense attorney for his family. And the young man
pretty much
killed his father. When they start going into the character's past, they show some of the father who's played by Jim Belushi.
Yep.
And they show that he's a little bit of infidelity. You know, him stopping to pick up women, if he's cheating on his wife. But we never really get too much more of that. Just a little bit of surface level, okay, he was cheating.
Yeah, basically just enough to make us doubt what, the good, because everyone, basically all of the witnesses are saying, like, how good of a guy he was, how they never saw anything untoward, but it's clearly that they're showing, like, no, this guy's, it's not much of it, but there's just a little, and then, and Renee Zellweger is, the mother, and, you know, Jim Belushi's wife, and I almost didn't recognize her at first, but because I always forget that she looks different here. But
yeah, and I was actually looking at the trivia on this, and apparently this was her first film role in 6 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so I don't know if that shows. In her performance, I think she gets better towards the end of the film, but I want to say for the first third, maybe the first half of the movie, her performance wasn't connecting for me. There was just thought she was going a little too over the top at times.
I wonder if that was just because at first she's like the stereotypical mother of accuse someone, you know, who's like worried about her son, and like it's very over, like, you know, like screaming and stuff. Yeah, it's a little much. And I think she, as the character starts changing a little bit, yeah, she's good, her performance gets a little better. But I don't know how much of that it's her fault or if it's the material too, but yeah, it's an interesting point for sure.
Yeah, it might be the material, just because I think maybe they didn't give them, maybe if they knew a little bit more about their characters, or they had a little bit more to work with, as far as, you know, backstory, something of that nature. But yeah, and actually, now that I'm thinking about it, there's that, you know, that twist at the end, so it kind of makes sense a little bit, not at her performance and how she's, so,
oh, right.
If you think about it in the sense of her character is acting.
Right, yeah, and the movie, so yeah, the way the movie works is, yeah, basically, Keanu's working this case, and then they have these, as I mentioned earlier, they have witnesses, and then they kind of show the, maybe a more real version, which is what the title obviously comes from, the whole truth, that you never really know what, you know, there's two sides to every story, right? There's your side, my side, and the truth. And that's kind of what this movie's trying to say. And, so the kid who plays Mike, I noticed it took me half of the movie to realize who it was. And then I remember that he was in Super 8. He was one of the kids from J.J. Abrams' Super 8. And,
yeah, I haven't seen that in years. I he looked really familiar to me. He's all right.
He has some thick glasses in that movie, so he was you know, much younger there. So, one of the weak links of the movie I felt was, so like half the movie is, you know, in his courtroom, over half of them, probably 75%, and I feel like the guy playing the prosecutor, they should have really gotten a more interesting actor there, because it just kind of, he's very forgettable, I feel like that character, you need someone to be a little bit more aggressive or more charismatic, because as it is, there's these parts where he's like, you know, really laying into the kid, and it just kind of gets, it just feels like they needed someone a little bit more of a presence.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the film, you get the impression that he's not going to play a big role. You know, this right. prosecuting attorney, but then he ends up being there the entire movie. So yeah, definitely, if they would, I think that probably would have elevated it a little bit. Didn't think he was too bad, but yeah, he's just a little forgettable for what he's, right. because he's supposed to be basically the antagonist of the movie.
In right. a sense. And one thing I liked, the other, so Keanu, is the, and I think Keanu actually does a really good job here, and I think, I think he almost makes the movie, him and Gugu Mbatha-Raw do a good job of carrying the material when it's starting to fall flat a little bit. I definitely don't think if there were other actors in there, I would have been able to make it through as easily. I think they did a good job to pull you through.
Yeah, definitely. If Keanu wasn't in this it would feel a lot like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure.
Yeah, but with him being in there, it's just, you know, just the way he delivers dialogue, and you kind of want to, you're waiting for something to happen. But he's never really given anything to really, you know, I don't really think he has many moments in the film that where he kind of just goes all out.
But yeah, that's the kind of thing that made, you know, The Devil's Advocate work, is that when he goes, is like really hammy, over the top performance. Like, yeah, he doesn't really get a moment like this at all. He's very, and there's a moment where they could have had that, but they just don't let him do it. And I was like, I almost feel like if that third act had gone a little bit further, I would have maybe been easier to recommend it. But just because it, you know, to see him go a little more over the top. But
yeah, and even. Even if, so we're going to the big, you know, the payoff at the end. Do you want to just go through the middle of the film a little bit more?
Yeah, I'll do that. So first there's another twist, like before the final twist, is that, Mike basically, throughout the movie, he's like not talking. And Keanu keeps saying that, like, you know, you can't do a defense if the accused isn't going to talk to you. And he's basically like, and first he almost starts like throwing the case, and there's a story he does with Gugu Mbatha-Raw as his co-counsel, where he tells her a story about Muhammad Ali, and says, like, you know, that when he was fighting George Foreman, like, he almost seemed like he was throwing it, but then he did that just so he could get the chance to win.
Yeah, the rope it up.
And so for the first part of the movie, it basically, he's like trying to lose the case almost, like he doesn't know what to do, so he's just kind of coasting through. And then Mike finally reveals that he is going to talk, like he wants to be put on the stand. And that's like a complete, you never put the prosecutor, or you never put the accused on the stand unless you know what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. And so there's this big thing where Mike reveals that, or says, tells the court that his dad molests him, and that's like the big, supposed to be the big reveal that, like, oh, that's why he murdered his dad, and that's why he you know, stabbed him and stayed at the scene and never, you know, denied it and basically confessed.
So
that's the first twist.
That part, I don't know if it was just, but that kind of almost completely took me out of the movie. At that point, when I was watching it, I think maybe if they had gotten a better actor to play Mike, you know, somebody who could really, you know, amp up the emotion or something in that type of scene. But with him doing that reveal, it just felt really out of place and like tacked in there, it kind of upset me, because it just felt a little weird,
Yeah, it's a little bit of a manipulation and as like as a false accusation is a little especially you know in 2019 it did feel a little it's a little problematic for sure.
Yeah, and maybe since this is 2016 that this was released, so this would have been before you know the whole. You know, when everything with the Me Too movement and everything going on, but still, even then, maybe it's because of 2019, but I still think it was a little strange, and just because it didn't feel genuine.
Yeah, maybe if it had especially felt genuine, like, which we find out later that like yeah that none of this like that yeah this the big twist is that that's not even true, and so that makes you feel like it's a little it's a weird. Especially given what when the kid like finds out the big twist, it just all feels a little forced and a little unnecessary.
Yeah, definitely. I think with the there's so many things that in this film, if they could have done it a little bit more, so you know, if they would have gotten a different prosecuting attorney, if they would have gotten a different actor to play Mike. If the characters have been given a little backstory, but you know, by then you're changing a lot of the film.
For sure. As the trial goes on, basically seems like, you know, Mike is, once he tells the jury, you know, that, he was molested and that this, you know, that he murdered him because he thought his dad was going to do it again before he left to college. And then in the end, there's like the big thing where they basically think they're going to lose anyway, even though they revealed that. And, but like on the final day of the trial, like when they're, the jury's, deliberating and, Mike starts drawing this, like watch or something on a, like doing a doodle.
Oh yeah, actually,
like, why is he doing that? And then we reveal that it's because he, basically, Keanu is having an affair with Mike's mom, and he's the one that killed. At first it's like you're not really sure. Like that's why I liked it a little bit. Like at first, like it's a little. As I said earlier, the narration kind of makes, and the flashbacks make things concrete when they maybe would have been better served to be ambiguous.
Yeah, we really, and actually before that, actually, there's a scene that I really enjoy, who I think really stands out in this is Gugu Mbatha-Raw, where she has a few scenes where she's questioning everything, you know, where she's talking to Renee Zellweger's character, the mother, and she's asking her, you know, did you do this? And kind of playing the role of the prosecuting attorney almost, since she's supposed to be defending her or defending her son, and she's kind of, you know, asking questions: did he do this? Did you do this? Did you kill him? And then she has the other scene where she's talking to Keanu later, where she's upset because you know they're defending someone who didn't commit a crime, and she's basically the moral, or the I'm not sure how to say it, the moral character in the film, you know, the one who has morals, who wants to do right, which was actually which I did enjoy a lot in the movie.
Those scenes are both really good. Like there's this one in the motel room with Keanu where she's like, you know, both like, you know, just basically in distress that. Like, this seems, like, super unethical, super questionable, and I feel like, and there's a little bit here where, like, they tease a little bit about her backstory that I wonder if it got cut or something, because I feel like if the movie had been more from her point of view or more focused on her character, it would have been a much more interesting film, and I feel like even if it was just 15 minutes longer to be able to make her like a second lead, that I feel like it would have been more successful, because again, she and any scene with her and Keanu or her and Renee Zellweger is definitely the highlight of the film.
Yeah, this is something I was thinking yesterday. Is this film is it's one troubled somewhat character story of Keanu's lawyer, but then it's also this mysterious love affair film. Or it's supposed to be, as it's revealed at the end of the film. But then it's also this, this protege film with Keanu working with this younger, defense attorney. So if any of those things had been played up a little bit more, then the film could have been, really good. It could have been memorable. But none of those things are actually given enough time to matter. Which any one of those films would have been better than what we got. It's just okay.
Right. That's a really great point, because it really does, like, all those points you pointed out, if they had gone fully with any one of them, it would have been more interesting. But as it is, it's all there. They're all presented, but then done. They do nothing with them. And it just kind of leaves it frustrating in the end, because it's like you can see, I feel like a movie where you can see the great version there and it just kind of falls apart, I feel like that almost, it's always a little more upsetting than a full disaster.
Yeah, definitely, because the cast is there, the all the elements are there to make the story good, but for one reason or another it doesn't connect. And I guess it happens, but Keanu did well. It was nice to see Zellweger and, Renee Zellweger in another film. And there, that's the disappointing thing at the end of the movie, where basically, you finish it and I think the only thought you come up with is, all right, well, that just happened. And that's basically it. You just continue with your day, which is always frustrating. Going back to the end of the movie, with the twist, that's something that I wish we had gotten a little bit more of. With Keanu's relationship with Renee Zellweger,
right?
I really wish they would have shown that a little bit more, in the film. Or they could have played it up in little ways. Maybe in the ways they talk to each other during the film, maybe in looks they give each other, but there's never really anything to suggest that's happening besides one little scene that they have together in the, in a flashback at a party. Besides that, I don't really think the audience has ever given anything, that would make them believe that's something that's happening between them.
For sure. Yeah. It just feels like, if they had even just a couple more flashbacks or some kind of, or even just it's just kind of when that twist happens, it's like, this happened because we're saying it did. And instead of actually kind of earning that or making it have really a big impact. There's a scene with, Mike and Rant, where Mike kind of confronts, Keanu about it. And it just doesn't work. He admits it without, I actually kind of like the scene, because Keanu does it well, where he's kind of playing coy and he's like kind of admitting to killing Jim Belushi's character without really admitting it, which I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then this could end ambiguously, but then the last scene of the movie shows the murder, and it just makes you, again, it just makes this ambiguous subtext fully just too concrete. And it's like, what was the point of this movie about trying to be showing that there's not really any way of knowing the full truth if they're going to show it to us? It felt like a cheat. It kind of felt like the movie, I don't know if it would have made it a better film, but it would have at least made it a more interesting ending. And kind of, but as it is, it just kind of feels like just to appease to the four quadrants, like trying to just give general audiences we don't want ambiguity, we just want you to tell us exactly what happened. And it was just kind of a bummer.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's really too much else to say, but about this one, it's definitely a movie.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a movie that I was, there were a few, earlier on, as I've been following through, that made me upset that I watched it, and that wasn't really one, it's not really one of those, but it's also, like, again, like we said, forgettable is a really good way to say it. And, I mean, it's on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free.
I don't think it is anymore.
Oh, it's off.
Yeah, right. I think they just took it off, like, 2 days ago. Yeah, because I when I was watching it, I had to I rented it because I started watching it on Prime like a week ago, I want to say. But then when I went to go watch it on Friday, it wasn't Prime anymore. It was just available for rent.
So yeah, there you go. Maybe completionists only. Otherwise, you're not really missing much.
Yeah. If you want to see a courtroom movie. Just watch The Devil's Advocate. Does Keanu have many love affair type films?
There's a few, not really that many though, to be honest.
Kind of. I never saw Knock Knock, but I got that from the trailers.
Yeah, I guess the only real reason I would say is if you want to see, if you like Gugu Mbatha-Raw and you like Keanu Reeves, this is a movie that with them to get in together. But again, I'd like to see a movie that uses them to a little more interesting effect. But
yeah, actually,
as it is, it's just kind of a very middle of the road movie that you're just kind of probably going to forget the day after you see it.
Yeah, yeah. Probably most likely. Did you happen to see the trivia on this film?
I didn't have time to look at it, no.
Okay, I actually was looking at it, and apparently Daniel Craig was supposed to be the star of this movie.
Huh.
And he pulled out 4 days before filming was going to start.
Oh, wow.
So, apparently there was no reason given, but that's just something to think about.
Yeah, that's strange. I mean, maybe he just kind of, maybe he knew this, maybe it was going to be a more interesting project at first, and then... I guess we'll never know, but that seems it would have been a very different film too.
Yeah, and Lupita Nyong'o actually auditioned for the role that went to Gugu Mbatha-Raw. So I mean, this would be I'm not sure how this would be quite a different film with Daniel Craig and Lupita Nyong'o as the leads.
Right.
So that's just something interesting, but as it stands, it's serviceable.
Yeah, and the director, she made the film Frozen River, which did really well at Sundance, and I think that got Melissa Leo at least a nomination. I don't remember if she won. She just got nominated. But and so when I saw that, I hadn't seen that movie, but I have heard good things, and I heard that it was, kind of intense. And this one's not really, I wonder if she maybe, I just wonder if studio interference really kind of played a role in making this as forgettable as it is, but I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I don't think so. The writer, the guy who wrote it, actually, he's done some good stuff too, I think, in the past. That is Nicholas Kazan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so huh. He's written a few, decent pictures. He did the screenplay for Matilda. He did Francis in 82. So it's quite a while back, Bicentennial Man.
Yeah. Zoe Kazan's dad. Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, in the end, thanks so much for being on, Pablo. It was a great chat, even if the movie's a little forgettable. Thanks so much.
No, yeah, definitely. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. Love the show. And now I know you're getting into, Keanu's upcoming movie. So I think he's an underrated actor. I think you could say that.
I would definitely agree. He's definitely popular, but yeah, I think as I've gone through here, I've really realized just how good of an actor he is. And yeah, definitely as a, definitely underrated in terms of his talent, for sure.
For sure. Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks again, and thank you all for listening. Join me next time, we'll be discussing The Bad Batch. Until then, keeping excellent to each other.